Harper Audio presents Church of Marvels, a novel by Leslie Perry, performed by Denise Stradling. In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? The Tiger, William Blake. Prologue. I haven't been able to speak since I was 17 years old. Some people believe that because of this, I'd be able to keep a secret. They believed I could hear all manner of tales and confessions and repeat nothing. Perhaps they believe that if I cannot speak, I cannot listen, or remember, or even think for myself, that I am, in essence, invisible, that I will stay silent forever. I'm afraid they are mistaken. People who don't know any better assume I'm a casualty of the stage life I was born into. A stunt gone awry beneath the sideshow's gilded proscenium. Mauled by a tiger, perhaps, or butchered by a sword that plunged so far down my throat, I could kiss the hilt. But it's a bit more complicated than that. No sword I've ever swallowed has been sharp enough to cut. At worst, those blades, blunted by pumice stones in my dressing room after hours, tickle like a piece of straw. When I first came to Mrs. Bloodworth's, I knew nothing beyond the home I had left. I'd never been to the city before. I believed I had already seen the worst of the world, but of course I was wrong. I was just a scrappy tomboy from the seashore, my voice a blend of mother's airy lilt and the peanut-cracking babble of the boardwalk. My mother was fearsome and beautiful, the impresario of the sideshow. She brought me and my sister up on sawdust, grease paint, and applause. Her name, known throughout the music halls and traveling tent shows of America, was Friendship Willingbird Church. She was born to a clan of miners in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, but ran away from home when her older brother was killed at Antietam. She cut off her hair, joined the infantry, and saw her first battle at the age of 14. In the tent at night, she buried her face in the gunny sack pillow and wept bitterly thinking of him, hungry for revenge. A month later, she was wounded. In the leaking hospital tent, a nurse cut open her uniform and discovered her secret. Before the surgeon could return, however, the nurse, not much older than Friendship herself, dug out the bullet, sewed up her thigh with a fiddle string, and sent her back to Punxsutawney in the dead of night. But Friendship never made it home. Instead, she traveled out to the great cities of the Middle West. She joined a troupe of actors and journeyed on to New York. She played town halls and hog fairs, bawdy houses, nickel parlors. She built her own theater at Coney Island, the Church of Marvels, and made a life for herself in a sideshow by the sea. It was the water she loved most, far away from the hills of Punxsutawney, from the black dust that fell like snow 12 months of the year. But she couldn't shake the coal mines entirely. She prized industriousness and made us work. All great shows, she told me when I was little, and still learning to flex the tiny muscles in my esophagus, depend on the most ordinary objects. We can be a weary, cynical lot. We grow old and see only what suits us, and what is marvelous can often pass us by. A kitchen knife, a bulb of glass, a human body. That something so common should be so surprising, why, we forget it. We take it for granted. We assume that our sight is reliable, that our deeds are straightforward, that our words have one meaning.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?